It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
But the Krell forgot one thing, it. Monsters talk. Monsters from the id.
There you go again, always blaming me for everything.
Go switch off!
Exterminate!
It's a trap!
This looks extraordinarily bad.
Commencing countdown. T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fanny Show.
Talking about Dutch SF with Timon Swan, Marieke Nijkamp, Thomas Oldehuvelt, and Martijn Lindeboom. Lindeboom. Wow. That's a lot of Dutch names that I mangled. Sorry, guys.
It's okay. I think we'll be okay, Julia. We're here with a whole bunch of really amazing Dutch people to talk about Dutch science fiction and fantasy and the world as it is. Really quick, just get everybody to tell each other a little bit about, tell us a little bit about each of you. We'll start with you, Timon. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, I'm Timon. I'm not a writer, but actually I'm the science fiction and fantasy buyer for the American Book Center in Amsterdam. That's an independent bookstore with one of the largest English language book selections in, Netherlands, probably also continental Europe. And we have one of the, if I may be so immodest, one of the best science fiction and fantasy selections in the Netherlands.
Actually true.
Yep.
Excellent. What about you, Marieke?
I'm a young adult writer. I'm represented by Jen Adden at the Donald Mas Literary Agency, and I'm currently working on a YA fantasy inspired by the 16th century Netherlands.
Excellent. What about you, Martin?
I'm a writer of science fiction and fantasy, and one of my characters is a martial arts master of the fantasy world, and I perform as that guy as well.
What do you mean you perform as that guy?
I teach people how to defend themselves against nightmares and monsters by using martial arts techniques, so kicking and punching.
That's awesome. That's great. And what about you, Thomas?
I am a writer of fantasy, horror, and magical realism. I'm just breaking through in the English language market. I've been publishing 5 novels in Holland so far, and recently I got nominated for 2 Hugo Awards and 1 World Fantasy Awards, which was pretty cool. And my novel Hex will be out next year with Macmillan Tor in America and Hodder and Stoughton in Britain.
Excellent. And I did nominate your story.
Thank you so much.
I really, really enjoyed it. So
good to hear that.
So I guess the big question we could start with, you all come from very different fields in terms of your interaction with Dutch SF. But sort of as a general question, how did you all get involved either in the field, or the other question would be, what drew you to genre fiction in the first place? And I guess we'll just start from my left to right again. We'll start with you, Timon.
That's a good question. I started reading science fiction at a young age, because the interesting thing is that a lot of Dutch children's books writers, they actually do a lot of fantasy and science fiction. For example, Thea Beckman, which is a great Dutch author, she wrote this interesting science fiction book called Krijgstocht in Spijkerbroek, which means crusade in your jean pants. Which is about a boy who ends up time traveling, and he gets stuck in the Middle Ages. And long story, he leads a children's crusade towards Israel. So that really got me hooked in. And basically professionally, a few years ago, I was looking for a job, and all of a sudden I saw they had an opening at the American Book Center, which was one of my favorite bookstores. I thought, why not? And they actually hired me, so that was nice. And well, then after a year working, they said, well, you know, we know that you like science fiction. Would you like to do the science fiction and fantasy section? Would you like to buy for that? And well, I said, well, yes, please. and that's how it actually started.
Excellent. What about you, Marika?
Well, like Tiemann, I've been reading science fiction and fantasy from a very early age. So that was always a no-brainer for me. And I think in a way, telling stories was too. I don't know. I think it holds true for many of us writers that you... I don't think I can pinpoint exactly when I started writing, but except that I always had stories to tell and I always tried to tell them in various ways. So writing science fiction and fantasy was a very logical thing for me. And I spent most of my college years studying medieval history, medieval... I'm sorry, all my clocks here are just...
It's kind of the greatest background noise ever.
Yeah. I'm secretly in a cathedral. I mean, don't mind me. But no, I mean, I've always been interested in science fiction, fantasy, and history. So I started studying Middle Ages and medieval history, which is basically the best education you can have as a fantasy writer, because it's literally... all fantasy stories all the time. My professor will hate me for saying that, but it's so true.
Excellent. And what about you, Martin?
For me, there was a very obvious point of entry. I was a fan of Star Wars, and my friend and I started drawing, making comics, and soon I discovered that I wasn't very good at drawing, and he was, so I started making the stories, and he kept on with the drawing, so that's how I got into science fiction. But after that, everything branched out, and I started to read a lot. And, well, you get the picture.
And what about you, Thomas?
Yeah, for me, it was my grandpa. When I was, 6 years old, I always went to my grandpa and he told me all these stories that were not really suitable for children. And then when I was 10 years old, I came home with my first Stephen King novel and my mom forbid me to ever go to my grandpa again. So but he was my hero. And, so yeah, he got me hooked up.
So by unsuitable for a child, you meant horror novels?
Yeah, lots of goats, lots of dead people, lots of blood, all that stuff. And, you know, there was this, this half year when I was, I think, 8 years old, when I kept on screaming in the nights and kept my mother awake, and that's when she got the picture that it had something to do with my grandfather, in a good way.
It's good to kind of get an introduction to... The way in which you all came into the sort of sci-fi world, or hearing Star Wars and these kinds of stuff that I grew up with, it's very interesting to hear that these things are sort of found very widely and broadly. So the other question I kind of want to ask here is, since you all are obviously have a different perspective on the Dutch SF field in general, what is it the publishing world like in your local areas? For example, I know some of you say that you're writing in English and in Dutch. Is there a lot of, in terms of, say, translation between the two languages? Do you feel pressure to write in one language over another? Those kinds of questions, a kind of very general sense. But I guess we could go left to right again and just start with you, Tiemann.
It's a bit of a weird position for me, because the American Book Center, we specialize in English language books, so everything we import from the States and the UK. So in that regard, the bookshop where I work have been a bit of an outsider with the Dutch publishing world, because they obviously are specialized, focused on Dutch books. The thing is, often we want to get offers to the store. To do offer events, and especially, of course, fantasy and science fiction fans offers. But it's sometimes hard because they will say when we approach one, well, what is the Dutch publisher doing? But then, of course, the Dutch publisher is saying that, well, yes, but we only want to do the Dutch books, not the English books. So, yeah, I do notice that there's a little bit more crossover these last few years. But for a long time, it was a bit split. It was my experience.
Okay. What about you, Thomas? Do you have a perspective as a someone who I think you were one of the folks that mentioned that you write in both languages?
I actually write in Dutch. I've been translated into English. I studied American English, but I never dared to actually write fiction because it's not my mother tongue, so to speak. So I never tried that. But, publishers here publish the general American and British successful authors. In 2008, I was actually one of the first Dutch authors in the imprint of the biggest publishing house in Holland, fantasy authors. So it's kind of a new thing. Recently, there have been more involvement with Dutch authors, and it's a whole variety of stuff they publish, but it's not so different from the American market, I guess, with what you can buy in stores. But mostly, it's translated.
And it's a lot smaller, the market in the Netherlands. So,
of course, yeah.
So there is room for some Dutch fantasy authors, and Thomas is one of them, and there's a few more, but it's not like there are hundreds of Dutch fantasy authors. Well, there are, but not with the big houses.
If you have, I think, with the two main publishing houses in Holland that publish fantasy and science fiction, you have like 6, 7, 8 Dutch authors, and then most other Dutch authors are either self-published or with very small publishing houses.
Interesting. And Tiemann, you wanted to jump in here.
Yeah, because that's quite interesting, because a lot of Dutch people, they tend to read English. A lot of Dutch people, well, they learn English on a young age. A lot of people who are big fantasy and science fiction fans, but then they want to read in the original language, so in English. So I guess that's also a reason why you don't have a lot of Dutch fantasy or science fiction published, because people tend to read the English books, and so the market is not really that profitable, I guess, for a lot of Dutch publishers to focus on that.
And I see, Thomas, you wanted to jump in on that particular point.
Yeah, we're just so good at English that what you get is when I'm signing at a fair or at an event, someone comes to me and says, "Well, is the book also available in English?" And I say, "No, it's written in Dutch." Well, I'll wait till the English version is out. That's what you get all the time.
This may be a dumb question, but is English one of the main languages that is taught in schools? Like, is everybody learning English there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, and also, of course, that the Dutch don't use, how do you say it, well, synchronize the television. So all the English movies and television shows are in the original language. So even from an early age on, if you live in Holland, you get, you experience, or you get a, what do you say? Well, you hear a lot of English all the time.
Interesting.
Yes. And we're... Ahead. Thomas and I are working in a foundation, the foundation to promote the fantasy genre in the Netherlands and in Belgium. And what we are trying to do is to get those original Dutch language authors to be more accepted, so that they don't hear every time, "When is your book coming out in English?" Because that's really a bit stupid, because most people say that they want to read it, a book in English, because that's the original language. But when it's written in Dutch, they should read it in Dutch, of course. But that's very hard to get that point across. So we started a foundation to help. And we also started a website called Hebban Fantasy, and we're trying to promote the Dutch, but also the English fantasy and science fiction in the Netherlands and in Belgium.
So, Julia, you had a hand. You go ahead, Julia.
So I'm hearing a lot, and I feel like this also came up when we were interviewing Corinne Duyvis about Otherbound, that she was saying she read in Dutch when she was younger, but now she mostly reads in English. And I'm wondering if that's true. And Marika, you write for young adults. Do you find that there are more young adult books that are written in Dutch? And are there more people who are reading Dutch when they're younger?
Well, I think it's interesting to see... going back to the previous point just for a bit, I wrote in Dutch for many years until about 2007-2008. So when I wrote fantasy, the Dutch market was still primarily translated. So it is interesting to see from a sort of outsider's perspective, because I've been writing English for such a long time now, that I do feel like there have been more fantasy writers, Dutch fantasy writers, making their way onto the bookshelves, which is amazing, and I'm really, really excited about that. But the same holds true for young adult fantasy and young adult science fiction. I feel like we had a very strong tradition of young adult writers in the Netherlands throughout the 90s, but most of what you see these days, or at least the last couple of years, has been translated fiction, and I feel like we're sort of slowly moving towards a situation where publishers are paying more attention to homegrown writers as well. But it's very slow, and I think the fantasy world is just maybe one step ahead there. But it's interesting to see these kinds of changes and circular motions almost in publishing as a whole between the two languages.
Martin?
Yeah, what I see when I go to a bookstore and I talk to people who work there, and maybe Timon can vouch for me, is that there are a lot of young adult and youth books that are fantasy and science fiction. But as soon as people grow up, it stops. And the fantasy and science fiction drops off like, well, a steep way down. So something we should do in the Netherlands, I think, is try to grab those young adults as they grow up and keep them in the fantasy genre, because they don't know what they're missing.
Why do you think that drop off occurs?
Well, maybe the Dutch mentality of doe maar normaal, dan doe je al gek genoeg. Do normally because that's strange enough. That is very, very much the Dutch spirit. Don't do strange things when you're an adult.
Okay. Timon, you wanted to jump in on this very point, I think.
I think that for not so long ago, fantasy and science fiction was basically considered for children, indeed, like Martijn has said, especially in high school. I wanted to read science fiction and write my book reports about that, but I wasn't allowed that. I was supposed to be, reading proper literature. And I also guess that the publishing world, Dutch publishing world, the majority is about literature. That's where most people or most TV shows and newspapers focus on. However, what's interesting is that in our shop, I do see a lot of people, also grown-ups, 30, 40-plus. I even have one favorite customer who is 80-plus and who is an absolute science fiction fantasy fan. And they read a lot of science fiction and fantasy. And especially now since Game of Thrones started a few years ago, the television show, my experience is that fantasy and science fiction is becoming way more mainstream now and also more accepted that you read it. In this case, I guess, Game of Thrones by George R. R. Martin is kind of a gateway drug for fantasy.
That was actually the thing I was going to ask, was how has film changed the interaction? Because in the United States, it seems very much like that science fiction for a while was that thing that kids read, and then you grew up and you just stopped. And that was only little kids did that. And if you kept reading it, there was something sort of off about you. But then the film industry sort of has made that very different. I mean, you start with something like Star Wars, which sort of changes the landscape a little bit. But then over time, and now it's like, well, all of the big hit movies are sci-fi movies. All of the adults are going to the sci-fi movies. They're going to see Transformers or whatever movie is out, or Avatar or something. And so there does seem, in the United States at least, a shift. And so it's I find it very interesting that we're seeing – you're saying there's a similar shift. I mean, even George R. R. Martin, that's a great example even in the United States, because I imagine most people probably wouldn't have picked up Game of Thrones if not for that show being crazy and violent and hardcore, as I would say.
Absolutely.
So, I see, Thomas, you wanted to jump in on this point, well, maybe on a slightly earlier point.
Yeah. You can also just, like, fake people. What you do, what my publisher did with my last book was that they released it as a fantasy title in a fantasy part of the bookstore on the fantasy shelves. And then a couple of months later, they released a second edition with exactly the same cover and exactly the same contents in the mainstream department of the bookshops. And people bought it. And so it doesn't really matter. You know, people will buy it as long as they don't have to look for it. You know, like, if people are not used to go to that dark spot in the bookstore where all those fantasy science fiction titles are, then they won't go, then they won't buy that stuff. But if you release it as mainstream, then they do.
I'd love that.
So they did a bait and switch.
Yeah, basically.
It happens over here too, all the time.
Yeah.
You get books where, like, it's not fantasy, wink, wink.
Yeah, exactly.
But then it's got, you know, like a troll in it or something. And it's like, yeah, it's fantasy.
We have to thank the crisis a bit for the shift towards more Dutch authors in their publishing houses, because it simply saves a lot of translation costs, and that gave them a incentive to actually look at, so what's around here and how can we market that? So actually the crisis is in the end a good thing for our Dutch fantasy marketplace.
Interesting. Marike, you wanted to jump in, I think.
Yeah. Well, to confirm what Thomas said, the interesting thing is that publishers tend to do the same with YA novels as well. Redesign them, give them a new cover, and brand them as adult novels, and just tell people that they're not kids' books. Really, they're not. So, you know, that whole stigma genre has, and not just the fantasy genre, that sort of holds true for YA as well. People still, not quite as much, but there is still some stigma attached to YA fantasy as opposed to contemporary YA or contemporary literary YA. So I think it is something that isn't just a matter of age and a matter of children versus adults, but something that the SFF genre just seems to not to be able to escape, which is ridiculous, because all the stories people have been telling throughout ages and ages have been fantasy in one way or another.
True. Julie, you wanted to ask another question?
Yeah. So I think that this conversation is really interesting, but I actually wonder, for Tiemann, how exactly did you get into being a book buyer, and specifically an English language book buyer? Because that sounds like a kind of fascinating career path.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm still wondering myself, how did I end up in that position? Well, the thing is, actually, I'm a book buyer, but I'm also a teacher at the University of Amsterdam. And what I studied before was not literature, but actually political science, so something completely different. But yeah, like I said, I saw the ad, and this was supposed to be just a job for maybe 1 year, max 2 years. But actually, I realized that I really, really liked this. And well, the thing about the American Book Center is that it was started by a bunch of hippies in the 70s. And that structure, yeah, it's a long story, but it's a cool story. And that structure still permeates through all the whole company. So if you like someone, oh, you're good at that, you like that genre, well, okay, buy some books for it. And that happened. And I really like science fiction and fantasy. I read a lot about it. I also bug a lot of authors on Twitter. When is your next book done? What is it going to be about? So, yeah, basically, I can offer a lot of good books for people in Amsterdam and surroundings. So, yeah, basically, I turned my hobby into my work, which is today still wonderful.
That does sound absolutely wonderful. Okay, so now I want to take the conversation in a completely different direction. Because one of the things that we usually try to ask people about is what fandom is like over where you live. Because, of course, we have American fandom over here, and we know kind of what that's like. But we assume it's slightly different. So what do you guys do? Do you have conventions? Are there meetups? Do people cosplay? Have you ever participated in any of this? And I'm going to start with Marika this time, just to shake things up.
Oh good, that is a hard question considering I've been focusing on the American market for a while. Well, I think there's obviously the Elf Fantasy Fair and various other fantasy fairs that are probably the main meeting points for fantasy and science fiction fandom in the Netherlands, and do correct me if I'm wrong, which I've been there quite a few times in the early part of the century. God, that makes me sound old. And I have dressed up, and I've had such a fantastic time there. And I'm sort of out of touch with what's going on right now. So I think Martijn or Thomas would probably be better off saying something about this.
Can I?
Yeah, go for it.
Absolutely.
Well, I perform at a lot of those fantasy fairs, and I think it's a bit different from the U.S. because most of these are outdoor, outside a castle in a big garden, and you have all kinds of places where you can, shoot a bow or kick some orcs or do something else. The kicking of the orcs, that's my department. I'm also a Taekwondo instructor, so I try to mix that with the fantasy. So I teach people how to defeat their nightmares and other monsters. But there's also on those fairs a market with all kinds of fantasy authors who are selling their books and talking to their fans and stuff like that. And besides the outdoor events, there's also a couple of indoor events, and one of them is Imagicom, and that's a new one that started last year. Next year will be even bigger, I think. And one of the people in our foundation is also in that organizing committee, so that's a nice new development, and that's much more like the American conventions, I think.
Yeah, the fantasy fairs you were talking about are mostly pop culture events, and only a small part of it is literary. Funny thing is that, like Marika and Martijn said, people dress up for them, and what you get is when the fair is over, people will go in their orc costumes, and they dress up really nicely. They will go in their orc costumes in the Dutch train system and stuff, so you get all these weird-looking people, and normal traveling people are just looking at them and what's happening here, and then you get, it's kind of a funny turn of shift there, but what you get is it's not, what I find weak about it is that it's not so much on the content. There's a lot of activities, but there's hardly any discussion, like all these panels at the American science fiction conventions or the fantasy conventions. And there's hardly any business done there as well. It's mostly just a fun day out.
True.
Mm-hmm. Timon, do you have a perspective on this?
Yeah, but basically it's like what Thomas said, that we do have some events, and they've grown, like the Elf Fantasy Fair, which was about 10 years ago, I think it was like 5,000 attendance, and now 10 years later it's about 25,000 attendance a day. But yeah, it's mostly outdoor activities, not so much on the fiction or literature, but more people are just going to see the events there and dress up and have some fun, but it's not focused around the fandom itself. However, with Martijn and Thomas, they're doing excellent work, actually, I think, with organizing Dutch fandom. So I do think that in the coming years, fandom in Netherlands will become more organized. An interesting thing, though, is that Netherlands also have a lot of expats and that also a lot of expat authors who also are organizing themselves. For instance, I know a Filipino author, Rosita Ruiz, and we done some wonderful events at the bookstore a few months ago, and actually also last week, about Afro-futurism and the other side of science fiction. So it's kind of growing, but it's not yet that organized, but it's coming there, I think. It's going there, yeah.
Did you have a follow-up to this one?
Well, not really. I was just kind of wondering what you guys all thought about and sort of, okay, you know, what the convention scene was like. But it sounds pretty exciting. It sounds kind of like our Renaissance fairs mixed with book fairs. But more exciting because you actually have real castles.
Very true. Yep. Oh, we forgot one.
Oh, go ahead.
Yes, we, Thomas and I and Floris Kleine are organizing the Paul Harland Prize. It's a writer's writing competition for fantasy and science fiction stories. And we have the Paul Harland Dag. That's a day exclusively for the... I should not say exclusively. It used to be exclusively for the people who entered into the competition and to hear which place they had made. But now we're trying to get it more to also to the readers. So the readers will come to the Paarlandag next time, we hope. And we will bring much more events for readers, also for writers, like workshops and stuff like that, but also readings and other things to make the fandom bigger and better in the Netherlands.
Excellent. Wow, sounds exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe in a future date we'll have a Worldcon.
Ha!
It wasn't all actually long ago. It was sometime in the 90s, I think.
Yeah.
In The Hague.
Yeah. But, you know, it's never too late to have another.
One, basically.
So I'm going to actually go ahead and jump in with a different question, if that's okay.
Absolutely. Go for it.
I know that, Tomas, you've gotten 2 Hugo nominations, so obviously the English-speaking market is totally looking at your work now, and we are liking what we're seeing. But I'm wondering for all of you writers, and even for you, Tiemann, if you have anything to say on the subject, what you see Dutch SF themes grappling with in science fiction or fantasy, in young adult or adult, in short story or long, in English or in Dutch. What are the kinds of things that would signify to you that this is something that seems very Dutch to you? And I guess I will start with Tomas because I singled him out in the question.
What I try to do is try to incorporate Dutch culture within my stories and novels. For instance, with my latest novel, Hex, which has been so successful in Holland, it's a completely Dutch story set in Holland, set against Dutch background of... it's set in modern day, but it's about a witch that still haunts this town, and she's from the medieval times, and it's about the plagues and all that. But the funny thing is that when it was sold to Tor in America and Hodder and Stoughton in Britain, they actually, we've had a conversation with my agent and with my publishers and my Dutch publisher, and they all basically agreed that it would be, a more chance of success if I would relocate the setting of the story to America. Not because... they think it would be better that way, but simply because it would adapt faster to American mind frames, I guess. That's somewhat what it was. So I had to adapt the story into an American setting, but I did still incorporate all the Dutch background because now I just changed it into... Because you don't have the plagues in America, for instance. You don't have the medieval times in America, so... I did it with the Dutch colonists who came to America and used that background to it. So, yeah,
What about you, Marathon?
Well, it used to be in a lot of stories. I read a lot of stories in for the Paul Harlan Prize when I was a judge, and later when I was a chairman of it. A lot of Dutch people mistake smells and stuff like that that are typically Dutch, like spruitjes, to be the same as the story being Dutch. And that's not true, of course. You have to go deeper than that. But what the real Dutch spirit is, I couldn't tell you. In my stories, I try to use Dutch people and try to build on how I would react or people I know would react, and then, well, kind of hope that that is the Dutch background that that I'm looking for. It feels Dutch to me, but I don't know whether an American would agree.
That's a big question. I suspect many Americans would not have an answer because they may not know what it means to be Dutch.
So, no, and yeah. Maybe they will think, well, that's a strange way to react. I don't like this story because they do stupid things there, because those are maybe Dutch ways to greet each other or how to react to each other that are unfamiliar to Americans. Well, I'm not sure, but that could be.
I mean, it could be. It's certainly, I mean, you could think about even just on something as simple as like the political climate would be very different between the United States and somewhere like the Netherlands. So, I mean, definitely. Certainly would see very different reactions, I imagine, to different types of scenarios.
For what we, in the Netherlands, what we think is a very right-wing politician is usually regarded in the United States as a leftist. So there are big political differences, definitely.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. Thomas, you seem to want to jump in on this actual point.
Yeah. You also have a lot of different sensitivities you have to account for. For instance, my story, which was nominated for the Hugos this year, it's called The Ink Readers of Deutsche Cat. It's about Thai culture. So I, as a Westerner, wrote this story about Thai culture. And it was received very well. And but I read all these reviews, coming from America online, of people who are discussing whether it is, whether you can actually, as a Westerner, write a story about Thai culture. And that is basically not done to do that, to dive into another culture. Well, we as Dutch folks wouldn't, you know, that question wouldn't come up to us somehow to our mind, right? Because we are very broadly adapted. We are very international culture. We like a lot of different cultures. And for my personal background with Thailand, I have family there and I've been there many times. So as a Dutchie, you would never ask yourself that question. But then there says that sensitivity about it in America. So that's all, you know, cultural differences, I guess, which you meet when you're there.
That's a good point. Well, Marika, you haven't actually jumped in on this question. Do you have any perspective on this that you wanted to offer?
I've been listening a lot because it is quite hard to pinpoint what Dutch culture is and how it's portrayed in stories. I think I'm really intrigued even by Thomas's story of his publishers changing the location to the US, because I definitely can see how that would be a good decision, but I would love to see more stories, more science fiction and fantasy stories specifically that focus or that use that Dutch culture also for an international market. I think you mentioned Corinne Duyvis and her debut Otherbound a while ago, and one of the things I like a lot about it is that it is a secondary fantasy world, at least part of the story, but it is very much influenced by Dutch culture. And I like that because especially looking at fantasy, most of the world building is still very generic English type medieval fantasy. And I think using cultures like the Netherlands, but also non-European cultures, would be a really interesting way to enrich the genre.
Mm. I mean, that's certainly a conversation that the genre has been having, I mean, more broadly, about incorporating more diversity in terms of representation. Yeah. So, and I see, Timon, you wanted to jump in on this.
It's an interesting question. What makes Dutch sci-fi typical Dutch? Because a lot of Dutch people are also so focused on the American and the UK culture. So there's always a bit of a blending between what is the Anglo-Saxon culture and what is typical Dutch culture. Although I do think that there are a few things that maybe make it typical Dutch. For one thing, of course, is that Netherlands faces different challenges than, for example, the United Kingdom and the States. I reminded of one of my favorite authors, children's books authors, Evert Hartmann. He wrote a science fiction book called Niemand houdt mij tegen, which is roughly translated as Nobody Will Stop Me, which is about Netherlands in 2120. And about half of the country is underwater because of global warming. Nice. And that's, it's something that's a big challenge in the Netherlands, how to keep the water out because, well, about half of the country is under the water. I guess another thing that's maybe somewhat Dutch is that, and also what I've read in Corine Duyf's book, you don't have the typical gung-ho hero, I guess. If you look at Game of Thrones or the somewhat less gray fantasy novels, most of the time you have a strong hero. Take, for example, Terry Goodkind's Sword of Truth series. One guy who will save the day and can do those awesome things. With a lot of Dutch books, it's usually, you don't have that kind of hero. It's more of a group thing, I guess. There's also more self-doubt, I guess. There's not this whole thing from there will be one guy who will save the world. For example, in the book I just mentioned, Nobody Will Stop Me, well, the protagonist is a young boy who wants to save a girl who came illegally into the country, but he doesn't succeed at it. And, he tries to save her, but in the end, he has to acknowledge that they will have to go through the proper channels to get her into the country at last. And also with Corine Duyf's book, Otherbound, which I'm really excited about, also the same thing. You don't have this super guy, but you have this a kid. Also, two kids actually were just trying to make the best out of what they're dealt to, and it's very well realistic about what one person can do actually in the world. And I guess that's also a typical Dutch thing because we're a small country, and we always have to talk with people if we want to get stuff done. You can't really force people. Yeah.
Oops. I guess the what's come up from coming out of this is a sense in which the idea that there is something that's definitively quote unquote Dutch culture is somewhat very difficult to pinpoint, and maybe in part because it is as Thomas was suggesting that there is a more willingness to maybe engage in I'm going to use the term multiculturalism, but I don't know if that would be the appropriate term. And I see Marika maybe wanted to jump in on this really quick, so go for it.
One of the things that just crossed my mind listening to everyone talking about not being able to pinpoint a specific Dutch influence or a story idea is that I think what... let me rephrase that. I think one of the things that we shouldn't ignore is that the thing we started with during this conversation is that the Dutch genre is still very much inventing itself and trying to gain its footing after being more or less ignored in favor of translation. So that is one of the things I do see with a lot of Dutch fantasy and science fiction, is a willingness to explore the boundaries of the genre and to try to incorporate different aspects and just be very daring and brave about what they do in fantasy and science fiction, which is one of the reasons why I love keeping an eye on it, even though it's not necessarily my market anymore or right now. But I do love the way it's exploring and trying to find its own footing, and that leads to really interesting and really exciting stories as well.
Absolutely. Julia?
So I'm just wondering if you guys could all recommend one thing. And I'm going to take Thomas's stories off the table for this because we're all recommending those already. And everybody knows that they're wonderful. So, but choose one thing from Dutch SF in Dutch or in English. But of course, if you choose something that is available in English, our English language listeners could possibly read it. And tell us what it is and why you recommend it. And I will start with Tiemann.
Okay, well, that's interesting because I will recommend then Otherbound by Karina Divers. Sorry, Marika, if I've taken your recommendation. yeah, that's quite interesting because, Karina is actually a regular customer of ours, and when I heard that she was actually publishing a book in English, nonetheless, I was like, well, we want you in the store. We want to do an event with you. And, like I said, Karina also very focused on America. I think she's gone there several times, and actually when we meet, we talk in English. My colleagues are like, from what, you two are both Dutch, why are you talking English? But yeah, speaking English. And Otherbound itself, it's an amazing book. The idea, the plot is, it's something I've never really encountered. I don't want to spoil too much, but the idea of blinking with your eyes and then seeing through the eyes of someone else in a different world, and that fantasy world is based on the Netherlands, nonetheless. That's amazing. So if there's any one book you want to read this year, then I would say Otherbound by Karina Divers. Oh, and by the way, we're also doing an offer event, so I'm plugging a bit now, on August 30th in a store. So if you happen to be in Amsterdam during that time, you're all invited.
Did you say that was August 30th?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. And we'll go with Martin next.
Well, I would recommend, I think, Paul Evenby, Paul Evenblij. He's been published in Dutch in all sorts of ways, in magazines and with one of the bigger fantasy publishing houses, Meulenhof, Boekerij. And a lot of his, oh, a lot, a couple of his stories have been translated, and they've been in Analog, I think, and some other magazines, and his book, The Scripturist, is one of my favorite Dutch fantasy books, and it's, kind of fantastical Holland, steampunk-like without steam engines, very strange magic based on writing, and, very, very good book. So I'm hoping that will be available in English one day.
Me too, because that sounds really awesome.
Yeah. Good.
Can you spell that author's name for us?
Paul, like Paul, Evenby. Evenby.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay, great. Thanks. And we'll move on to Marika.
I would recommend Kim Tentascher's Bound in Darkness. Kim is also a Dutch author, and her publisher recently released the first book in her trilogy in English. And it's really, you can say it's quite traditional fantasy in the sense that it's about magic and dragons, but it also does really interesting things with world building and exploring the role religion plays in cultures. So it's quite a dark book, but I really loved it, so I could definitely recommend it.
And very topical, considering some of the the stuff going on in the last decade or so.
Unfortunately, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, but that'd be very interesting. Excellent. And I guess the last person then is Thomas.
I would definitely go for a short story that I read last year while I was judging for the Paul Horland Award. It's called Zero Kelvin by Johan Zonneberg. And it ended up very high in the contest, and it just blew me away. It was this perfect story of magical realism about two young boys living on the South Pole, and every way up was just north. And it's a beautiful tale of growing up, and I wrote in my jury report that he needed to get it translated and show it to the world, and he actually followed my advice, and he has it translated now, and I think he is he's in the process of finding a publisher for it right now, so with a bit of luck you'll be able to read it soon.
Nice.
Awesome.
Sounds good.
Excellent. Well, we're like running out of time now. This is sad.
Yeah, that's why I asked for the recommendations, because the next step is that we ask you to tell us where we can find your work and you.
I know, but I don't want it to end. I just want to keep talking about...
But that, you that always said. Feel this way, Sean.
I know.
And yet, it always has to end.
I know.
Visit Holland, actually.
I would love to go. I would love to do just any place that isn't Florida.
I would love to come and hang out outside a castle where people are kicking orcs and reading books. That sounds awesome.
It does.
September. You're invited.
I would love to come, but I'm so poor.
This is where you ask for the donations, is it? Every episode again?
we already
Maybe
did that for World
year.
Time.
The traveling fund for Sean.
Oh, I already did
that.
That's
going to have to wait for one more year, I think. Mm. This year's travel funds have already been allocated.
Yeah, for WorldCon.
But speaking of WorldCon, are you guys coming to WorldCon? And also, like, mention that when you're talking about your stuff. And we'll go around and we'll start with Tomas. Tell us where we can find your work, aside from in the Hugo packet, and whether you'll be at WorldCon, where else we might find you, and what else is going on with you.
I definitely be at WorldCon, and I'll be in a few program items. I think I'm in three or four panels, moderating two of them, and I'm also in Strolling with the Stars on Saturday morning, so you can all stroll with me. I'll just be hanging around in the bars, of course. And my work is out on Tor.com, on Lightspeed.com. My work will be out next. My first English language novel will be out next year with Tor Books in America and Hodder and Stoughton in Britain. And my website is mylastname.com. So www.oldehovelt.com. Try and pronounce that.
Oldehovelt. This time I got it right, maybe.
Very good.
Yay. All right. So what about you, Timon?
Well, this year I won't, unfortunately, going to be to the WorldCon. Did want to go, but finance. I did buy a supporting membership, however, so that's nice. You can find me on Twitter. I've been tweeting since a year now, I believe, and actually been quite successful with getting some offers to the store now and then. Last year, actually, when New Game was in Amsterdam, I tweeted him, we have some books of you in the store. Actually, we have we made a window for you with some nice drawings of you. And 10 minutes later, he was in the store. So that was like, whoa, that's an amazing thing. What are we doing? Well, through Twitter, I've met so many, spoken with so many amazing people that I want to organize more events, events with book presentations with authors. So if you're a science fiction author, a fantasy author, and you happen to be in Amsterdam, please come in the store and sign some books. Most times I have your book, maybe. We're also focusing now on the Dutch Comic Con, which will be next year in 2015, March. And probably we'll have a large store there, and maybe also a few events with the authors. And of course, when Thomas has his Hex novels translated in English, really want to have you in the store, of course, for a book signing and a presentation.
Oh, that will be
And I think the... who's next? Who's next, Julia?
Let's go with Marika next.
I will be at Comic-Con too, mostly just hanging around. I'll be doing a few panels on fantasy medievalism, disability in science fiction, and I'll be moderating a panel on diversity in YA science fiction, which I'm really excited about. And other than that, you can definitely find me on Twitter, where I spent way too much of my time. And through my website, which is basically just my name.com. I'm also the founder of a website called Diversify YA, which focuses on diversity in YA. And you can also find me via We Need Diverse Books. So.
Excellent.
Awesome. And finally, Martin.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you can find my very slight English influence on the world at www.qmar, that's Q-U-U, dash M-A-R dot N-L slash English. And that's where I kick the orcs. And besides that, I'm on Twitter and on Facebook. And of course, our new website is www.hebban.nl/fantasy, and Hebban is the first word of the first sentence ever written in Dutch, Hebban ola vogula nestas, and that's the basis for our new website to promote Dutch fiction, Dutch fantasy, but we're also doing a lot of English books reviews and stuff like that.
And that's really amazing, by the way.
That is okay. Awesome.
Nice.
Well, thank you all very much for your time. So thank you, Timon, for coming on and talking about books and Dutch SF.
Thank you. Thank you. It was lovely.
Yeah. Thank you, Marika, for the same thing.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Martin, for obviously the same thing.
Welcome. Oh, and I didn't. I forgot to mention that I will also be at LongCon, and I'll be watching everybody.
That sounds ominous.
That's not creepy at all.
He did that on
purpose.
And you are
there, so we'll probably meet there.
Yeah, we might even see you. That'll be great. We'll say hi.
I'll say
just
hi.
Just whatever you do, don't dress like an orc. That will end badly.
That will end badly indeed.
No, but luckily I don't have enough room to pack my orc costume, so I think we'll be good.
Because then the next headline will be like, sadly, we have lost Sean Duke. He has been kicked in the guise of an orc and will no longer be doing the Skiffy and Fanty show.
Even sad. Without an orc.
And thank you, Thomas, for your time as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
And good luck on the Hugos.
Yeah, thanks. Let's keep the thing.
Yeah, we'll see you at the Hugo reception. We'll all hang out and be very glamorous together.
Because you were nominated as well.
Yep, we
were. The Skiffy and Fanty show is a Hugo nominated podcast.
Very good.
Woo-hoo.
And I am also a nominee for Strange Horizons, so I'm up there twice. I'm very excited. Nice.
This is my first nomination, so I'm happy.
Yeah.
We're
jealous. Well, some of us are jealous.
One day.
If they only had an orc kicking category, you would be completely dominating it.
Definitely. But I'll be writing stories about that as well. So my novel hopefully will come out, and then I'll storm the heavens or the book market or whatever.
You all should create a website like the Dutch invasion of SF. And just... It'd be a really cool website, actually. But in any case, and obviously thanks, Julia, for being my co-host on this one and for helping set this up. Because you did all of the legwork. So
it was a pleasure, and thanks again to everyone for talking to us. It's been great.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And on that note, awkward ending and scene. If you would like to send us hate mail on this episode or any other topics we've covered, you can do so in a number of ways. You can send us an email.
SkiffyandFanty@gmail.com.
You can send us a tweet.
@SkiffyandFanty.
Leave a comment on the blog.
SkiffyandFanty.com.
Go to Google+.
Shawnee Jen,
and or Facebook.
The Skiffy and Fanty Show. Our intro music comes from Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
you're just another weak human afraid to face death.
I fart in your general direction.
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you. Always.
End of line.